almost didn't throw the white flag. I was going to give you one more lap.
The 9 running on the tires. He'll slide up off of turn number 4, Jerry. You've got a new race leader, Matthew Loeb. Your race leader with 4 laps to go.
All right. He told me to tell that joke.
Well, welcome back. It's season 3, episode 2, and even looking through
Season 3, episode 5,
because I couldn't see because I'm still trying to figure out if the eclipse is happening. Did the world end? I can't see.
Ground control to Major Sean.
Major Tom.
Yeah, my world just
Major
ended.
Sean.
Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Can you weld
on.
With those on?
Can you what?
Weld.
I suppose you could. I can't see a thing because you can put a welding helmet on.
You looked directly into the sun yesterday, didn't you?
No, not just yesterday. That eclipse deal was crazy. Did you see them down there? They opened and they put all these kids in like AT&T Stadium and opened the roof. And I mean, they had like huge watch parties all over. And
the path, yeah. the 100% eclipse. Eclipse path went over Central Texas. It went right through diagonally through Texas.
Yeah, so they should.
They were acting kind of like
Waco would have been a great place to be yesterday.
Yeah, no. Trust me. Yeah, yeah. My wife wanted to go pretty badly.
You wouldn't
just
take
not it. To see the eclipse though. She just wanted to go.
She just wanted to go. She just needs an excuse to go down there. So I wore this hat for her today.
Oh, that was so sweet of you. Yeah,
it's my.
I'm sure she'll think that's just as good as being in Texas.
Sure.
Exactly.
It's good.
Oh, Brett,
we're good
enough for me.
That. It's good.
Yeah. If you had the Whataburger shirt on, you'd have the whole ensemble.
Exactly.
You know, people said the world was going to come to an end after the eclipse. That was the whole thing. You know, whenever that was.
It's always good.
I thought that was Y2K.
Y2K.
2020.
The zombie apocalypse. None of this has happened
Zombies?
Yet. None of this has happened yet.
I know.
Even after COVID, nobody turned into a zombie.
There's a few, I think, that could probably qualify.
I'm still trying to figure out when we're actually going to see a Sam Squanch sighting that we can actually see the Sam Squanches.
I called my daughter. Well, let's see. How did yesterday go? I said to... Well, I was actually... After I picked her up. We took our daughter out of school so she could see the eclipse. It sounds pretty... irresponsible of me as a parent, right? But here's the thing.
It's a neat educational.
It's cool.
She's in science class, right? Take her out of science class.
Why wouldn't the science teacher took him outside?
This is my point. This is my point. So I said to Kennedy, while we're going home, I was like, well, I don't understand. Why is you, for science, and they did. They said they could, you know, study hall could go outside. If he had to have glasses, they wouldn't let you go outside because they're afraid a kid's going to go outside without glasses and look at the sun.
I bought these just this morning.
Those are weird things. I don't know. When I was in like eighth grade, I remember an eclipse, and we went out and got in like a refrigerator box out in the backyard of our school here in town and took turns like – going in, and you'd look. They made a viewer, and you went in, and you look up, and you see, oh, cool. You get out, and the next week, I remember that when I was a kid, so I'm thinking that's what's going to happen. But no, it didn't happen. They didn't do that. So I took Ken out of school and brought her home, and we're going home. I said, so why, you know.
Did you find that refrigerator box?
I thought you made viewers in science. And she said, yeah, science class. I was like, well, why don't you go outside for science class and look at the eclipse? She goes, well, we had a sub today. I'm like, oh, a sub.
Why? Oh, the science teacher took the eclipse.
Why'd you have a sub today? And her response was, my science teacher went to Illinois so she could see the full eclipse. And I'm thinking, you there got you a go. Whole classroom of kids.
Right.
Schools, well, at least here in Vinton, they didn't go outside to see the eclipse. So I took her out, and we watched it for about an hour or so. And then I took her back to school.
I had an appointment in West Glen yesterday, and I – come rolling down to this building, you know, one of them four-story buildings or whatever, and everybody's outside. And I'm not even thinking about it. I'm like, oh, great, I'm going to be late for my appointment because a dang fire alarm or something went off because everybody's standing outside in the parking lot. And I get up there, and I'm like, oh, they're watching the eclipse. Yeah. That's right. That was today.
We ended up doing the same thing here. We bought, like, the last four pairs of eclipse glasses yesterday. And then, you know, I brought a pair here, and we took turns going outside and looking at it. It's cool. When's the next one going to be? Did somebody say like 2044?
2044 is the next
2045, one. But then there's going to be one in 2020 every year. But
yeah.
I think the next one that's going to be visible anywhere in the States is like 7 or 8 years in Alaska or something like that.
Right. So there's an eclipse. Fascinating. Nate said Nate can't hear. People can't hear Nate. Every 18 months.
Every 18 months, one happens somewhere.
Sounds sarcastic, Jim.
But I had thought that they had said it was the last time this century that an eclipse, a 100% eclipse, would pass over the state of Texas. Oh, so I'm in sure. Texas, they were having parties for three right. days and
oh
concerts.
My goodness, it was crazy.
They had no school. They closed the government buildings down. There was a lot of things that they did. And here, you know, it was just like another day. So
I know in Des Moines they said it was 84% coverage.
Yeah.
So it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, because yeah. I know, that was like the deal when we were down in the fall at Batesville, you know. Batesville was one of the, it was in that right. 100, it was in that line of 100% right. coverage, and they were getting phone calls about, are you guys going to do something at your speedway, and camping and this and that, we can come watch the eclipse.
Well, they had a map online that showed all of the Airbnbs and all of the hotels and stuff that were sold out, and, yeah. and it followed the path of the eclipse. Yeah. People were traveling across
the country.
People
going to Arkansas. Some of our members in Arkansas posted on Facebook. It must have been a 100% eclipse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arkansas was. Yeah, Batesville they said was like right the hottest. It. Was like the spot in yeah. Arkansas where you would get the 100%.
Very cool.
Producer Nate wouldn't watch it with the boys.
He did. He did. We were going to do a podcast yesterday, and he said, no, I'm going to take the day off and watch the eclipse. Good for him, though.
Yeah.
It's educational.
I was going to buy some glasses.
You're going to see it every day. Let's talk racing. So, like, usually when there's a full moon out, we always, you know, oh, God, what's going to happen, you know, at the races? So did the eclipse have any bearing on last weekend's races, do you think?
I don't think so.
Jim?
I think it kicked the wind up.
Yeah, it did definitely did that.
Races were good.
Saturday especially. Holy goodness.
I took a video of the flag in the infield at Boone during the hobby stock feature, which is the last race.
It was still straight out.
And it was blowing like no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I went in the infield and got out of my car for the heat races, and I lasted maybe like three laps, and I got back in my car.
We watched.
I'm getting back in my
we
car.
Didn't come.
I watched the heat races at myself. Boone from my car.
I said, yeah.
Yeah, I came over to the TV truck, which is pretty cool. I mean, I took a few pictures.
And warm. There.
You really should do, I don't know, Nate, you really should do some sort of behind the scenes. When you're using that equipment, you know, we've got a production truck. IMCA TV has a production truck, and Nate does it. A fantastic job, and I'm like there's wires going everywhere, and there's a big equipment rack down one side of the wall, and there's a whole wall of TVs, and there's four guys sitting in there, and I'm like, does all this stuff actually work? I mean, look at all these wires and plugs and everything. I was gonna take pictures, but
I was at Stewart Thursday night for the Frostbuster and walked in there for a little bit and took a video, and I asked Nate, do you care if I share it on my Snapchat, on my social media, and the people that commented on it.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, it's if you watch an NFL broadcast or something like that on TV, when they take you inside the truck and people are waving, yeah. That's the same feel that yeah. you have for this. It's
yeah,
cool.
A little smaller. We don't have a semi. We've right. got, how long is it, 28-foot trailer? 16, even bigger.
You know what would make it neat? If there was LED lights.
One of these days.
One of these days, you and Matt.
We're going to have a 28-foot trailer. No,
LED lights
trailer.
In there.
Bigger, yeah, bigger isn't always better.
Yeah, it's maybe 28 exactly. foot long with the van.
Yeah, but it's...
Small but mighty.
It kind of tells a story. It tells a story of the dedication, I think, and the investment that we've taken, that has been taken to... stream IMCA sanctioned events the best we can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the product's incredible. I mean, the product is just incredible. What you see.
Yeah. I was watching, well, it was during the national anthem. I was on the backstretch during the national anthem, and I kept seeing this little dot on the ground on the racetrack. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm looking around. I'm like, is the eclipse going on? I mean, what's going on here? I'm like, what is that dot? And they had, I couldn't find it. It took me a little while.
Was it the drone?
They had the drone out in this 30-mile-an-hour wind or whatever it was. And that drone was literally like sitting still. And it was like at an angle like this just so it wouldn't, you know, blow it wherever it was going to blow it to. But I was like, how do you fly a drone in 25-mile-an-hour?
That's wind? What I asked Mike. I said, he goes, oh, just fly it.
It was impressive.
It's probably second nature to them.
But it didn't stop. Yeah. The wind around here has been brutal. I think it. I don't think it was too bad yesterday.
It wasn't too great yesterday either.
Yesterday was good.
Today, I think it's supposed to be nice.
But the racing was good. You know, yeah, I went to Boone. I think Ryan went to all of them.
Yeah,
Jim went to the Frostbusters and the Dodge City, as if he can't get enough racing. You know, Jim.
He likes to drive more than he admits, or doesn't like to sleep, doesn't like to be home.
Well, I mean, you know, he does. I mean, we knew he was going to the first one because he likes how it feels in Stewart. So then he went off to Dodge City after that. So
why not?
Jim has right access to Spec Part One, so I mean,
yeah.
he can go pretty much wherever he wants. Yeah.
I think Spec Part One would have had a tough time landing in Dodge City Saturday.
Taken out by a tumbleweed.
Jim had said I think it was Clay Sellard, I think. Jim had said Clay Sellard showed up to the racetrack with an open trailer and a pickup truck because he couldn't take his hauler to the racetrack.
Yeah, they actually had closures because closures and
blowing semis.
Parked semis.
Blowing semis over. It was so bad. Yeah. I think Clay lives like 15 miles from the racetrack. Too. Yeah. It's not like he was going very far.
There was a guy that was in Boone Saturday that he got 25 to 30 miles to the gallon to his hauler. Normally, he said he got 10 to 12 on his trip to Boone.
Yeah.
It was crazy windy.
Wind-powered vehicles is what we needed.
But you know what?
Wind-powered race cars, why not?
There you go.
Yeah.
A little wind ain't going to stop us from racing.
Yeah. I think it would be a little problematic to race sprint cars in 65-mile-an-hour winds.
It would have made it exciting. But you know what the main thing is? Whether it be Dodge City or Boone or any of the Frostbusters, we got the features in.
Yes.
Got the features in.
The rain, I don't know where the rain started, but it was heading towards Boone. We were talking about it at about 6 o'clock at Boone. It was coming, and it wasn't supposed to get to Boone till about 10 or 11.
I remember it was probably about 8:30 or so. I just looked into 3 and 4, and there was just this big light right over the power. Right, I'm like,
what time we get done? Like a little after 9:30.
Yeah,
about 9:32.
I left the racetrack at 10:30, and it was starting to sprinkle.
It's about time I left too.
When I left,
what was neat at Dodge City, they actually had to adjust the time of the races to try to play the wind a little bit. But that's what a good promoter will do. A good promoter will take the information that's available and adjust the program around once again. To make sure they get the races in, the racers aren't left high and dry without getting paid and stuff like that. And Kyler did a great job of that down in Dodge City.
I mean, we all have our cell phones. The racers all have cell phones. Everybody has cell phones. Everybody sees about the same thing these days. It's not like the old days. And we've talked about this before when everybody sees weather coming, whether it be before races, especially these days. I think the forecast definitely will prevent participation. I think the racers say, I'm not going to go to that if it's going to wash out. Because at the end of the day, they don't want to waste their money getting there. They don't waste their time being there. And they don't want to go home without being paid if they are there. So, you know, again, it's a balancing act. Some people do it really, really well. You know, I think that we know who some of those people are. Racetracks, and obviously we have some examples from last weekend of people who did it really well. I think, obviously, Tyler Kyler at Dodge City did that.
Yep.
And you have examples of tracks that didn't do that, didn't manage it very well. Thankfully, we just didn't sanction those events. So
correct.
With the car counts, too, over the weekend at the Frostbusters, and I'm going to compliment you, too. I mean, you had some snafus during the show with a rollover with two hobby stocks getting stuck together, an ambulance call to the pits. A lot of calls or a lot of cars, but still very well-run shows all three nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Friday night.
To get out of Boone at 9:30 is a little good.
Yeah, with almost 180 cars. 188 cars.
Yeah. Like just, you know, shy, I mean, you look at Boone, you know, throw a couple track prep sessions in. I mean, so we started at 5 o'clock and we're done at like 9:32 or whatever. At Marshalltown, we started at 7:37. We're done at 12:34. I mean, both programs just under with, you know, the huge car counts just done under 5 hours.
Yeah, Marshalltown ran compacts.
No, we had compacts.
Had about 40 of them. Had a good, great
38. Turn. That was pretty good.
A great turnout.
That's about 40.
And I ate my weight in free food Friday night at Marshalltown. if you didn't turn a profit in the concession stand, I'll single-handedly own up to that.
Okay. Can you pay me for that tenderloin?
I think I was on the road at 10 o'clock at Stewart on the way home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had one.
Well, yeah, I saw some guys from out of state at the Frostbuster at Boone. Again, we had racers come from different parts of the country and
Canada.
Yeah, some.
What did we have? Like 13 states.
I know on Thursday night we did.
Yeah, and one province.
Right,
one then, Canadian province.
I think we were right at 13 to 15 different. Yeah,
it
states. Was.
It didn't get lower as the weekend went on.
No, for sure. Crazy. No. I always find it fascinating. I raced it, although I wasn't that good at it. I admit, I raced and I'd pulled my car. The farthest I ever pulled my race car was to Davenport from here, which is what, 2 hours. Yeah. You know, 2 hours down there and 2 hours back, and it just to me, I am. We drive. You guys drive. Jim drives all over the place. I drive when most of the time most of us are driving to races, you know, and we're not pulling race cars.
No.
And it's not in the wind or anything like that. You know, I just I continue to be fascinated at the dedication that racers have to race anywhere that's a distance from their house. Right. I mean, it is truly dedication to do that. You know, you've got to have the travel planned. You got to make arrangements from work.
We talked about the guys out on the West Coast. You've got to plan. You race for a weekend, you'll go and race the same track all weekend, and it's 4, 5, 6 hours from home. That's
People like here in the Midwest, they think, well, we got to plan for these specials. We got to plan for this race. People on the West Coast have to plan for their weekly racing, right. How they're going to make it, right. And where they're going to stay for just their weekly programs, because they're anywhere from 4 to 8 hours apart, depending on where you're at.
And what did we have? What was the longest tow for the Frostbusters? Can somebody look that up? Ryan?
I don't have the mileage or anything here. I would think it would have to be.
Yeah, it'd
be it has to be.
Lawrence.
It's Lawrence O'Connor, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it has
to be. Where's he from?
British Columbia.
He's from Port Hardy, Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, would he be farther than? I guess I don't know what way he came to get here, but
it's a way.
We had guys from California.
Technically, he came from Missouri, but I mean, he's been kind of racing the whole circuit. You know, right. The Winter Nationals, Clash on the Coast, Frostbusters, and now went home.
Well, I mean, Sir Lawrence is, for those that don't know, I mean, he's in the construction business. Right?
Yes.
He's into bridge building and a variety.
He's into a lot of things.
Other different things. I had specifically asked him because of the project we got going on there. You know, we have concerns as to, you know, how are we going to get fans from one racetrack to the other at Boone, right? And so.
That is so crazy that you guys were able to cover that up so fast and it looked just
He showed up and people started asking questions why he was there. And, you know, I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, I mean, when you're. It's not easy. It's not going to be an easy task getting people from, you know, Boone 1 to Boone 2. And we have all the camping and all the cars. And
Lawrence told me you were talking about a couple skywalks or something.
Well, for a while we talked about a high-speed rail, an underground
one. Like when you go to DFW and you ride the thing around?
Yeah.
The tram?
We had the overhead. We talked about overhead.
What about a subway?
Then we talked about an underground subway.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's the way to go.
It was good to have Sir Lawrence there to talk about that, you know, and he was offering some input.
Consultant.
What he thought we should do.
Ryan, if you don't want to ride on the subway or the tram, I will, I'll carry on my shoulders. Like normal.
Ryan's getting out the moonshine.
Don't think I'm not either.
I didn't know that thing was open.
You taking another shot, Ryan?
Boone 2 or Boone 1? What are you talking about?
Now, Boone 1 was open because we were there, but I just can't believe how quickly you got it covered up so people couldn't see all the stuff that was happening.
It's an incredibly stealth project. We are using technology from the military.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
What's
military technology to cover it all up? It is. It's like the nuclear missile silos that you don't even know are there in Kansas and Nebraska and shit like that. Right, you just drive right by, and it looks like a cornfield. Next thing you know,
Watergate. It looked like just a normal hotel until they found out.
They push a button, and it all just goes away, and out pop the missiles.
Whoa.
That's what it's like at Boone right now.
Yep.
Just push a button, and it all goes away.
So that's what those stakes were back, for along the driveway when you drove.
Correct. And there sits Boone too. It is there. People just aren't looking hard enough.
And you know, one of the great things about Boone too is a retractable roof that should help us with the rain.
Correct.
And
Well, I've been consulting with Jerry Jones and AT&T Stadium with that. That's why I go to Texas usually, is I sit down and have lunch with Jerry.
Wow. This is all amazing information.
And we pull the track out, and, you know, we can reconfigure the track just like on the
what?
How was the shot to the throat there?
It was weak. Burned. It was weak.
It was weak.
It was weak.
Good times.
Sorry to hear
anyway,
that.
Wow. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, we did have some racing in the past week. You know, we had Batesville, which I thought was interesting. There were some highlights of that where we had a little Taylor-on-Taylor crime, I should say.
Yeah. Where, a dirty Taylor.
You know, that's got to be interesting for Connie up in the booth. Do they disqualify him? Do they ground him? Or how do they handle a situation like that?
I really think what happens is they have to just worry about how Sunday dinner is going to be.
Christmas,
Thanksgiving, Easter.
It's all got to be good by the time you get to Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, this did happen on Easter weekend.
The Easter egg hunt could have been affected. Is that the first time we've had something like that happen? I think the most memorable one had to be the Super Nationals.
So who took out who?
Larson on Larson, I think. Well, who was that, Ryan?
Jeff took out Peyton.
No, I'm talking about the Super Nationals.
Oh. Dustin took out Jeffrey.
Yeah.
But they were both still on the stage.
Yeah,
Jim was on the stage, too.
They still finished on the podium. What happened in Batesville? Did they both finish on the podium still?
No, I don't think, if I remember right, I don't think Peyton finished, did he?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the replay.
So who took out who? Peyton took out Jeff?
Well, I mean, I think
Jeff took out Peyton.
He just meant to ruffle him up a little bit. He just meant to rattle his cage.
Jeff's been fast. You know what we ought to do is maybe one of these days producer Nate can pull that up and we can have you make the call.
We could. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
There's a video right now circulating Facebook in Arizona that people want us to make a call on. We should just put that on our Facebook page. If you were IMCA, what would you do? We have these moments. People think
there are moments in life that make you ponder things.
Ryan and Jim and Dave and me and we have these moments where we're like,
oh, God, don't remind me.
What would you do? What should we do?
People think I like writing letters, and I really don't.
You're just signing them.
I do, so I have to make sure the signature is good.
You're just the messenger. At that point, Ryan, you're just the messenger.
Yes, you're like the old grandpa in stroke.
Well, race. You know, you do what I do.
If I get the calls.
So for the record, Ryan really doesn't make the calls. We discuss it as a group usually in some of these situations, but at the end of the day, Ryan isn't the person that makes the calls.
Well, that depends. Sometimes I have to tell racers, you got to be shitting me. Ryan did what? Holy crap.
You better put that on Facebook so everybody sees what he screwed up.
We'll have to talk to Ryan about that.
We had no idea Ryan was going to make that decision.
What a dick. What the hell was he thinking?
Never would have done that.
Yeah.
Ryan's still collecting fine money from the Super Nationals poor compact.
Holy cow. It's been a busy week.
It has been. We had like a record. I think we had nine sport compacts at Super Nationals that had illegal engines.
Yeah.
A few of them paid last year.
And they're still.
I've heard from a few this week.
They're trickling in. They're ready to race again.
Oh, yeah, because it's racing time. I want to race. I better pay this letter. Where's that damn letter Ryan sent me?
It's probably on Facebook somewhere.
In all reality, I mean, there are stressful decisions that we have to make. It's not like we enjoy finding people, contrary to what might be said on Facebook. And again, we laugh about it a little bit. We have to find some humor in some of the stuff that we get pulled into at IMCA. Because if you don't find the humor in it, if you don't find if you deal in the negativity all the time and the angry people all the time, it gets very stressful. Ryan and I have talked about this. I worry a little bit about him having to deal with that stuff constantly because he does send the letters. So he's the person that they usually reach back out
to.
Can I speak to Ryan Clark, please?
It's not really his fault, and it's not at the end of the day.
He took over the executive secretary position, he knew these shoulders were going to have to be
If you go back,
I can be a little bitch too, Jerry.
Oh, I know.
Again, if you go back, oh, 15 years or so, we didn't really have automatic penalties. We literally made those decisions kind of like just on a per case basis. And the bigger that we've gotten, the more racers that we deal with, the more divisions we deal with and stuff like that, the automatic penalties have really cleaned up a lot of those decisions for us. And they take some of the stress, so to speak, of the situations out of the decisions that we have to make a lot of times. You know,
the rule book dictates what the penalty will be.
A lot of times people will call and
say, it says right here.
What are you going to do? You know, and a lot of I send people to the automatic penalties quite a bit, you know, and we fall back on them. People sometimes disagree with that. People sometimes think that they're too heavy or they're too severe. Some people think they're not enough. Sometimes we adjust a little bit, you know.
Depends on the severity of a given situation. Yeah. They all have to be taken at face value.
But
what we do appreciate is, you know, when we get comments on Facebook, you know, supporting us and stuff like that. We really like that. And, you know, whenever you guys on Facebook can jump in and give us a hand on these tough decisions, whether they be rules or whatever, you know, keep them coming, please.
I think Cody Williams did that for us last week, didn't he? Cody Williams. I like Cody.
I do too.
Again, I mean, he, at the end of the day, you know, everybody has their opinion at the end of the day. And whatever it is, whether how we handle penalties or what rule decisions we make or whatnot, you know, and we had a situation that presented itself a week or so ago with the hobby stock division with offset rear ends, you know, and you know, we did make a slight adjustment in the rules from last year's rule book to this year's rule book. We made an adjustment. It was what we would call a clarification, but we didn't change the rule. It was really... We get calls all the time. Dave does. Dave gets most of these calls and asks questions. And when we get the calls consistently, it's like, okay, do we have that word used correctly? Is the sentence worded correctly? Does it say kind of what we mean? Because you get people that get a little confused by that. And we had that happen with our hobby stocks and centered rear ends and our hobby stocks and what we consider to be a centered rear end. And so we added, I think, the word centered in chassis or centered in car to clarify that because people were a little confused, and that got put back on us as a rule change, and again, it wasn't a rule change in our opinion, and it wasn't one that we didn't think most of our racers were already following, you know, and it popped up quickly this year where we had some cars that had, you know, offset rear ends in the car. By their interpretation, they felt that they were legal. By our interpretation, they weren't. So David addressed that, and Cody was involved with that. And again, you know, that's that. He, you know, we try not to take it personally, and we try not to make it personal when we have situations like this pop up. But we don't change rules for gotcha moments with racers. We just aren't ever going to do that. You know,
What about our alternative rules? Do they pretty much stay the same?
The alternative rules, you make those up as you go.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't use our alternative rules too much at sanctioned events.
No. You know, I'm going to say one thing. You know, we talked about Cody Williams. That sumbitch is a racer. So I'm at Stewart on Thursday.
I figured he was traveling with you.
Yeah, I figured you guys were like...
You're riding with him.
I figured he had a fresh 9x13 pan of meatloaf right there for you when you got to the track.
I had meatloaf last night, and I'll probably have it for lunch. But I... meatloaf sandwich. He's at Stewart on... He lives in, Minneapolis, Kansas.
Jim loves a loaf a lot.
So he drives to Stewart Thursday night. Which is by Salina.
For those that don't know where Minneapolis is, that's right by Salina.
It's up by St. Paul, right? It's by St. Paul. Oh, no.
I had to think about that. Albert
Lee.
A second. I'm
like, yeah, Albert Lee? Yeah. It's the Twin the Mall Cities of America? Minneapolis and
St. Paul, Kansas. What are you talking about?
There's the Twin Cities of Kansas, Minneapolis, and Salina.
Anyway, he's from basically Salina, Kansas.
Drives to Stewart, Iowa to race Thursday. Then he's in Dodge City racing Friday.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
That's dedication. Then he's coming back. Truly is.
Then he's coming back up here Thursday and Friday.
With a legal race car, too, to boot, you know, in the situation that presented itself the weekend before. So, again, you know, we posted, I posted a response to something that Cody had posted on Facebook, and I don't, Dave doesn't necessarily do that, and we don't necessarily do that, but I posted that just because what he had posted really did create calls for Dave and created more confusion. So I felt it was best just to kind of to address what our position was. And Cody fixed his car, or at least he said he did. I think he said he changed the rear end, so he must not have been legal, even though it wasn't disqualified. Even though he wasn't disqualified the week before, Dave kind of said, "Hey, you know, everybody, you know, Cody had asked, he had mentioned it. You know, it's one of those situations." And Cody fixed his car, shows up in Stewart, shows up in Dodge City the next weekend. Races a lot. I don't want Cody to think that we were necessarily trying to shit on him, because we weren't.
Nope. We appreciate that type of dedication.
Yeah. I just said that earlier. I can't imagine pulling a race car that far, especially in the wind.
Yeah.
One direction all the way back the other direction. Did he win anything?
He won, yeah. Didn't he win out there?
There you go.
I think he won Dodge. Didn't he win Dodge?
Yeah, where's Dodge City he won?
He won the track championship there last year, didn't he?
I believe so. And Kansas State champion.
Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing.
Yep.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
He comes to our banquet. You know, again, I don't have anything bad to say about Cody.
I nope. still want to figure out where they got the nickname Meatloaf at.
We should have had him on,
because he doesn't. Because if I remember right, he told me he doesn't really like Meatloaf.
We don't think ahead fast enough. We should really write this shit down.
Yeah, we planned this podcast at like 4 o'clock yesterday.
I know. We walk in. Hey, what are we going to talk about today? That's about the extent.
Yeah, we'll have to start getting our guests back on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got to find people that want to join us. I mean,
I called my mom. My mom is in town.
Yeah, you know, she was smart woman.
She was
to join
not
us.
In town.
You
last,
called her. She didn't answer.
Yeah, last time we on her birthday, she was not in town. We talked about a little bit about her. She's in town for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, "Hey, you want to do a podcast?" And she goes, "You know, I don't like that stuff, Brett." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." So I called her this morning. She didn't answer her phone. Went to voicemail. I think she did it to me on purpose.
Oh, duh. I mean, you're
and then I just texted her while we were sitting here. Hey, if you're, because she's just right over here. She's not far from here. Like, hey, if you want to come be on the podcast, come over to the office.
Is she at the Barn Dominium?
Yeah, she's over at the Barn Dominium.
You could have just moved the podcast remotely to the Barn Dominium.
Yeah, then you'd get my dad involved.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a ratings coup right there. Whoa. That would be the biggest.
If we could have had Carlton. You know, if we'd had Carlton on, this right here would be gone.
Carlton's corner.
And the words we can't say would be out the window.
Yes, oh, yeah. It would.
We would have to
There's
put the
all
explicit.
Kinds of words in my dad's vocabulary that would not fit into our podcast. He says
it would
them
be
regularly.
Great.
But anyhow, yeah, the other day he came over. We watched the Iowa game. We didn't talk about any of that. We watched my parents came for both the Final Four game and then the championship came to my house, and we watched the game. And my dad's like, "You got any Dewars?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, I got Dewars for you." I get it out, and he's like, "Oh, it's the wrong Dewars. I don't drink that no more. I drink White Label." I'm like, what the hell is that with White Label Dewars? White I don't even know Dewars. What that
Did
is.
Did you go get some then?
No. I had a Texas fifth. Well, that's what you call it.
Yeah, I had
right?
a big handle.
Yes, a big one of regular Dewars. Yeah,
did he drink it?
Because every time he comes to my house, you got Dewars, and I'm like, you know, and I was down to where I had very little, so I bought a big bottle of it, even though he don't ever come back. You know, it's just, you know, I think I might have
had
left over.
Well, if
he
had
the
right Dewars, he might come back.
Yeah, correct.
It's, yeah, the white label.
White label. Oh, man. I don't even know what that is.
So, but the biggest question is, did he drink the non-white label Dewars?
Of course he did.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
and the Hawkeys lost.
A good son would have went and got the right stuff.
Okay, Jim, whatever. We sat and watched the Final Four game. I think we had Casey's Pizza the first night. Was that Friday night?
Yeah,
Friday.
Have
night.
You had the thin crust?
Hey, we watched the Iowa women's game Friday night too.
The racetrack.
Oh yeah, I stayed home.
You stayed home that night.
It was warmer at my house.
I had,
and it was.
Because I texted you, I said, "Hey, somebody promised me they were going to be here tonight." Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm at home. It's cold.
So
yeah,
since when am I not good enough for you?
But you're always good enough for me. But just sometimes he says he's going to do things and then doesn't follow through.
Here's the thing: I see my dad usually maybe twice a year.
Okay.
I have not seen him since August 4th of last year.
Dad Jerry.
So he's in town. He wanted to watch the Iowa game. I'm like, yeah.
Brett Carlton.
My dad watched the Iowa game. And a thin crust Casey's Pizza.
They are pretty good.
Is that new?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I saw an ad for it. I'm like,
thin crust. They've been out for about four or five months.
Right.
But how thin is it?
It's good.
By far the best pizza they make. The regular pizza is a little thinner crust, but it's thin and crispy.
This is thin and crispy. You know what it reminded me? It reminded me of Jolly's Pizza for those who live in this area. They cut it differently and everything.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's in the squares.
It's in the squares. So
that's how they do it at Casey's, too.
Yeah. It's. I was like, this is so good.
Try it out.
It's good. Thin crust Casey's Pizza.
And a crispy.
Yep.
What toppings?
Yeah, what'd you get for
you? You like the sausage from Casey's, don't you? That's what I want. Shut up, Jerry. Shut up, Jim.
I don't want to say the word now.
No, he likes the Casey's sausage pizza.
I'm going to walk myself into a meme. Yeah, I really like sausage.
Pizza it's always Casey's.
It's always about dick with you, isn't it?
Sausage, mushroom.
Why does it always have to be about the D sausage?
It was sausage, mushroom, and black olives. I think.
Ooh, that is a good combination. Actually, did you put
sometimes?
Okay, onion. Now here's this is the question of the day.
It's the best.
Pineapple or no pineapple?
Pineapple on a pizza? Yes or no?
I've never ate it. True story. That's why
I hate to say this. Being from Rome, New York, which is Italian food galore, I have had pineapple on pizza, and it's not bad.
Oh, I love it.
I've had
Italian
it before.
Italian sausage, cup pepperoni, never tried and pineapple.
Yes.
I've had it, and it's not bad. I just don't prefer something sweet on my pizza. It just seems, I don't know. It's just not my thing.
Oh, man.
But to each their own.
I remember my dad, we'd always, it was Canadian bacon and pineapple.
Yeah, that was always.
I'll get in the mood for it every once in a while. Just a good old.
So you had ham and pineapple. You had luau.
Yeah.
What else can we talk about?
It's got to be Domino's. For me to get pineapple on pizza, it's got to come from Domino's.
Yeah, but Domino's doesn't put enough on.
I don't really like Domino's pizza.
I like their thin. Thin and crispy is good. Now, if I go to our go-to Mama's Pizza place, it's cup pepperoni and Italian sausage only.
Is that in Omaha?
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Or if we go to Lyle's, it's prosciutto pizza. Now you're talking.
I had a taco pizza.
I'm hungry now.
10:30 and I want to go get a pizza. What else are we going to talk about?
We talked about lunch.
Were you going to talk about the Iowa women?
Oh,
I didn't know you brought that up. I didn't know.
Well, I mean, they talked about the game.
It was a hell of a lot better than the men's game last night.
Yeah.
The
women's tournament was better than the men's tournament.
Yes. I would agree. I don't think I watched a single men's game the whole tournament. I didn't watch last night.
Yeah, I watched some. I didn't see last night, but
I watched a little last night.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Something about the men's basketball for me personally. You know, it's you grow up during Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan and just that era of basketball. To me, where basketball is right now, the current form of the NBA, in my opinion, is just not as good as it used to be. I just don't like it as much.
To me, there is no basketball after college level. There's no basketball. Basketball stops being played at the collegiate level. Once it gets to the NBA, it's just a show.
I think it takes on five steps. You know,
five steps is not a travel. It's
The officiating takes a back seat to the stars and the names.
And I think when you have a league that's filled full of people like Zach, is it Zach Edey? Is that his name?
Oh,
Edey?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have to jump to dunk the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, shouldn't they raise the basket for people like that? Shouldn't they have like a basket that just goes up?
So once the basket recognizes Zach Edey's in the paint, it automatically goes up like 3 feet.
I mean, listen, why not? We're smart enough as a technology, right? You put it in the ball and it talks to the rim. And so that way.
It's AI.
That way every single player has the same, you know, the tall guy doesn't have an advantage.
That's very socialist of you, Brett. I appreciate that.
It's just kind of like, it kind of, evens it all out.
Because exactly.
Look at the thing about it, though. Look at the Iowa women's championship game. That gal, that Cardoza girl, was 6'7".
Right.
She didn't have to hardly jump off the ground, and the Iowa players are down there, you know,
trying to grab the ball.
But
look
and she
at
just
Edie.
Grabs the rebound and shoots it back in. She had like 17 rebounds in the first 2 seconds of the game.
But look at Edie. He lost. I mean, there were four or five, six
UConn's
teams this
year.
UConn's
got a really good big guy, too, though.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, there's four or five or six teams that beat Purdue this year that were able to outplay Edie or shut him down.
Hell, Nebraska beat Purdue.
Yeah, that's very
exactly.
true.
Nebraska won a game this year in college?
They have the National Coach of the Year.
Yeah, they Brent went Hoiberg. To the tournament.
You know, you talk about that AI, AI stuff with the ball and the hoop. I mean, you didn't know when we were talking about Boone 2 and all the stuff. You didn't mention the AI on the track prep.
Okay.
That's being
we've got some pretty serious technology.
I know things you don't know.
What?
There are some things I know that you don't know.
I give credit to Carson. Carson is really, really, really super technologically advanced.
Techno Carson.
Techno Carson. We call him Techno Carson. Yep. He's light years ahead of Jim. You know, he's half my age almost. He's definitely half Jim's age. So
everybody's half Jim's age.
You bring in those younger people that have a different perspective, and Carson does a really good job with all that stuff here behind the scenes at IMCA. We were talking about it today, this morning in our meeting.
Yeah.
And AI implementation and you know, how we incorporate that into the new racetrack over there has been pretty cool to see.
Yes. Cloning.
A big piece of it.
Cloning. I heard we also made some leaps on cloning.
We have?
Mm-hmm.
Racetracks or sheep?
People.
People.
I was fed some information about some people that are going to be cloned.
You'll forever be my Dolly the sheep, though.
Oh, thank you.
If you had the opportunity to clone one person.
Oh, boy.
Either, I don't know, you could go living and dead. You could pick like...
Ooh. This would be tough.
Clone one person.
If you could clone a person right now.
Cologne? If you could cologne.
If you could cologne.
If you could cologne someone who is just a ribbon.
Would it be a sausage?
Or a pepperoni?
Ryan?
I'll defer to the expert.
Any kind of meat's okay by me.
Generative AI.
Yeah.
I don't
know who I would clone.
I don't know who I would clone either. And there are a lot of people I know I wouldn't clone, including
myself.
You hear
stuff like Walt Disney, like is in the cryo chamber. You hear stuff like that. Have you ever read something like that?
Yeah.
The Golden Girls had their heads frozen.
They did?
The Golden Girls.
Yeah, in a dream sequence on the
episode. Oh, I thought you said they had frozen head.
So, yeah.
Saturday night for Ryan.
Be interesting. Would it be somebody you know, somebody you don't know?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
But it has to be somebody that's living, because you couldn't clone a dead person, I don't think.
Correct.
Or you'd end up with another dead person.
Probably.
That would require some thought.
Man.
I'd have to give that time.
Yeah, comment below.
Really quiet. We were thinking.
Yeah.
How long have we been talking for? Half hour?
About
45. Yeah, about 42. It hasn't felt like 3 days yet.
We got some races coming up.
I was going to say cloning brought too much.
Oh, hey, I want to. We forgot to hit on this last week or last podcast. You know, this weekend, this Saturday, you know, everybody knows the Retai Czechs that used to promote, that were part owner of 141. You know, they lost their daughter, Becca, in an accident. And her celebration of life is this Saturday. And, you know, our thoughts go out with them. I mean, before the last podcast, I went up and seen them for the weekend. And just great people. And it just, Gertie was awesome. She was a great gal. I mean, she was one of those people that would lighten a room and
rock the stage at the Super
Nationals. Yeah, rock the stage
at the Super
Nationals. She was the DJ.
Yeah, she was the DJ. And she had the limbo ready to go this year or last year.
Oh, really?
She had a sign there that they sent us a video to. But, that Celebration of Life is Saturday up in the Luxembourg area. So
JW's place in, where is it? Casco.
So,
yep. Starts at 1 o'clock Saturday.
So you can go there and then go to the races afterwards.
Yep.
That's why they did it that way, because they wanted to.
Which is what she would expect you to do anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
what I'm going to do.
Yeah, Jim's going to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was unaware she had CF.
Yeah. Cystic fibrosis?
Yeah.
She had two or three good stouts that almost she didn't make it through. Yeah. So
my wife's family, my wife has a niece that has CF. And so it's a very challenging thing to live with, you know. And so, you know, I did not know that.
You know? Well, that's like, you know.
And the reason I bring that up is because they're asking if you donate to the memorial at all, to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Sorry, my words.
Okay. That's okay. Well, that's like a lot of people like Tracy that from Saints Avenue that he's dealt with it all. Well, he had a double lung transplant, and his brothers also had it. Yeah. And one of his brothers did pass from it here probably 2-3 years ago. So,
yeah. That's where you have to have two carriers. Both parents have to be carriers of the CF gene. And then, you know, when they are, the odds, the statistically go up quite substantially.
Because it's one of those that can skip a generation.
For any child that were to be born in that situation.
Disregard the text, Jerry.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
but yeah, if you can make it up to
if you're up in that area,
the celebration, you know, please stop by. You know, obviously, if you can't, you want to donate, please donate to the on her behalf to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. So
that was for a good cause. The cystic fibrosis, they have a thing called 65 Roses. A lot of celebrations, and Becca was part of some of those. And we were that weekend. We were looking. There was a book. It was called 65 Roses, and the lady that wrote this book, her child had cystic fibrosis. Well, she was one that was trying to get money for research and do this and every. You know, I think it was her daughter was like 4 or 5 years old, and all she heard was cystic fibrosis, and she thought her mom was saying 65 roses.
Oh.
I'm looking for help with 65 roses instead of cystic fibrosis. So that's where that, realize that it's a children's book that Becca had, and it was from one of her, you know, nurses or doctors when she was a small child, because like they said, you know, from the time she was born, they knew right away, and it just was handling that. And I thought that was because I always wonder, because Jackie is, you know, with the Des Moines cystic fibrosis, she's MCs their events every year, and it's called the 65 Roses. Never knew why, but then
now you know.
So it's crazy.
I never knew that. No,
yeah. No. Oops, didn't mean to kick the table there. Sorry, didn't mean to wake you up.
No, I'm working.
Oh, okay. We're podcasting. Are you working?
I'm just looking at my email.
Oh, okay.
Can I do that?
Nope.
Upcoming races. What do we got for upcoming races this weekend?
Well, nothing going on at Marshalltown, I don't think.
Nah, there's nothing there this week. I mean, only $5,000 to win for stock cars.
Is it gonna
King
be
of
warm?
The high bank. Yes, it's supposed to be in the mid to high 60s every day. So
I heard 83.
I'll go with that, too. No, so we'll have, full programs of... all the IMCA divisions, mod lights, stock cars.
I think I came to that race last year.
Yes, you did. Jim's coming on Friday.
I am unable to make it this year.
So what are you doing, double heat race qualifying?
And that's actually this year, instead of doing in the second one, racing the cars you raced in the first one, our friends from My Race Pass have come up with, they created it last year to where you can race different cars, and it just automatically calculates it, so... It's kind of a neat little format. We'll lock 10 in and then run some last chance. Kind of like Thursday and Friday. Yeah, Thursday and Friday. A Wednesday practice.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's what I say.
5,000 to win stock cars.
5,000 to win, 500 to start. $35 pit pass each night.
It's a big purse.
$125
entry fee.
Yeah, our friends at Drury Automotive. And
there you go.
You know, they're also great racers. I mean, Kelly Drury, which was Kelly Schmidt, you know, her dad, Joe Schmidt, raced IMCA.
Who's Kelly's husband?
It's your best friend, Daniel Drury.
That's what he tells me anyway.
Yeah. And his dad raced IMCA, I mean, back in the old Greenbelt Speedway days there in Eldora. You know, his dad raced IMCA for years. And
think of all the people like the Drury's. Think of all the people out there in racing that are putting money into purses for special events or just weekly shows or billboards at racetracks.
Yeah.
Think of you know, talk about some serious money. Think of the incredibly large amount of money that people just put into racing. We're not talking about equipment that they're buying and racing, you know, race cars themselves or anything that the racers are buying, but just all the people who support racing.
Oh, well, you know, in like this
millions deal, and yeah, millions, I mean, of dollars.
Every year. They called and said, we'd like to do this. And
it's cool.
I mean, thank you. You know, yeah, I mean, they're adding, yep. they've added 5,000 just to the purse to make it to yep. be that 500 to start. You know, each position from third on backs.
Yep.
From last year, if you were there, it pays an extra $200 because of them. And they're racing in it too. And they race weekly. And so it's cool to see racers yeah. that have been, you know, successful in business that are able to give back.
Yeah.
To their peers.
There's a lot of people that do. That's kind of my point. You know, there's a lot of people across the United States that put money into racing facilities and events and special events and things like that that probably don't get near enough credit.
Yeah, it's like when we're announcing, you know, we always tell, look at the names around the racetrack, the names on the cars. Yeah. Go support them and tell them, hey, I saw your name at the racetrack. That's why I'm here. Thanks. Spend some money with them and tell them you saw their name. Because that's the biggest thing. If you don't tell them where you saw their name, they have no idea. But if you say, hey, I was at the races on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and I saw you had a sign at the racetrack, that's why I stopped in and spent $100 with you.
I have had more than one promoter over the years tell me that, you know, the sponsorships that they sell for the racetrack, the billboards, the nightly sponsors, you know, anything that they're doing from an advertising standpoint with local businesses or even just, you know, racers who have businesses, that money, you know, is how vital it is, how it gets their season started, how it gets their insurance paid, it gets their, you know, gets all the utilities and stuff going. It just gets things going. And then a lot of racetracks that do it really well, they're very fortunate to use that money as operating expenses too throughout the year. Because look back at last weekend, you know, and you even the people that are at home who are enjoying it from home, you know, where it's nice and warm and
IMCA TV.
On IMCA TV. And they're not, you know, eating dust or getting wind blown at them or freezing outside. Yeah. You know, there are people that are, you know, that are at the racetrack. Mm-hmm. But when you have conditions like last weekend, it's just very tough to be a promoter. You know, and you've got elevated purses like the Frostbuster stuff, you know, that's a little higher than what you pay weekly.
Yeah.
And then you got obviously a really good example coming up this weekend at Marshalltown with a very big purse that without sponsors, you likely probably can't have.
Yeah. I mean, that's, without money coming in, it's hard to spend the money going out. And then
all those sponsors, all those billboards, all that stuff helps align you or the facility with doing events like that for the racer.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. And then when you have bad weather, to me, it's just, I just go, oh gosh, it just makes my stomach hurt.
You think you go, oh gosh.
It just makes my stomach hurt. It really does makes my stomach hurt.
Oh, it is. I mean, those are the days, you know, that it's tough. Like that. You know, we've always talked about it. The days at 4:30 when it rains on the west side of town and it doesn't do anything at the racetrack. People have already made their mind up.
They're not coming.
Well, I'm not, it rained.
It might rain there even though it looks like rain.
Yep. So it's tough. It's
I don't think people realize, Jerry, for example, give us a ballpark figure to open up your gate, even on a weekly show or even for this special show. What's it cost you in, you know, ballpark?
You know,
to open that gate up.
$6,000 to $9,000.
And that's just starting cash. That's not.
By the time you get, you know, you got to go get change order. You know, the first night's always the hardest because you have no inventory, you know. So, I mean, it's X amount of dollars in food. It's X amount of dollars in pop. It's X amount of dollars in beer. And then you've got to pay your, you know, your first three or four nights of insurance up front, plus the premium that nobody thinks. And then
you had to clean. You had to pay to get the facility you had to pay for track prep.
I mean, two or three weeks getting, you know, with extra help that you don't have during the week, and you're taking care of them. I mean, nights are always, and with, like you said, without having that sponsor money, it's like the racer who knows that they need to spend this on their race car, but they don't have it, but they get, you know, they get sponsors, and their sponsors help their race program, just like our sponsors help us get the doors open to bring the racer in.
I think that I've said this before. I think that every racer should should be an official at some point in time. You know, be the person that is actually involved in making calls on the racetrack and see how challenging
it can be. See what it takes to prep a track.
I think, yes, and that's what I was going to get to. I think every racer should at some point in time, and a lot of them do. You know, I mean, a lot of racetracks out there right now are being run by racers. Mm-hmm. So, promoters who still race, promoters who have raced, promoters whose kids are racing. You know, there's a lot of attachment to the people who are on the back end running races because they love the sport to begin with. That's, you know, so. But I do think everybody who's a racer should experience officiating at one point in time and should experience what it's like to run a race, an actual race with money on the line, the risk associated with it, because it is incredibly stressful.
Oh, I mean, you get, you know, you hear
it is not easy to do.
Yo, oh, just race tonight. You'll be okay. It's going to be a little chilly, but just race. Okay, well, I know you want to race as a racer, but we have to make sure to keep the doors open. And if the fans don't come in and we lose 10 grand, are you prepared to write that check because you want to race for the 10 grand?
The argument that always bothers me is the people that have got on social media now and say, well, back when I was here, back when I was there, if there was a race on the schedule, we'd race. Well, times have changed. And we've talked about how people's entertainment options have changed. The ability to access weather information has changed. And I don't think people realize that it's a business decision. I have always said it's a business. It's open roughly 20 nights a year. And if you want to cancel for whatever reason, I don't care who you are, if it's your bottom line, it has 20 nights of business, I will never question a promoter who wants to pull the plug on a show. It's their business.
And it gets back to the operating expenses. Yeah. It gets back to those advertisers. Mm-hmm. It gets back to the big picture where, again, I think most racetracks, and I'm sure you can attest, Jerry, that it's an up and down. It's a roller coaster ride.
Oh, no, it's never.
You may make a little bit money on one event and lose a little money on another. You may make a lot on one event. You may lose a lot on another. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ups and downs.
Every day's a risk.
And so I think at the end of the day, the promoters are kind of looking like this, but they want to get, at the end, they want that to just be a little increase. You know what I mean? Yeah, because it's not hard for with the risk that you associate yourself with on a weekly basis. I look at, like, Boone, for example. Their weekly purse is right at $15,000. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until last Saturday night. 15 grand is purse. Yeah. That's just the weekly purse. That's not the operating
expenses. Yeah, we're both pretty similar on that. Yep. That's just, you know, so I've always said, you know,
$8,000 to open your facility up, and you add that on top of the purse, you know, and you're easily pushing 25 grand at a facility like Marshalltown and Boone.
Yeah, you better, I always tell myself, I better make sure to at least break even, that you better have almost 30 grand that gets brought in.
Yeah.
And I don't mind sharing those numbers with people because it's not like we're hiding. You know, I feel transparency to a point. You got to be there so they understand that, this is a, because I don't think that, you know, I don't think that the racers, it's not that they don't know, but they don't know those hidden things that you don't think about.
On a racer's mentality is they just want to race. I mean, I don't think that those are things that play.
I mean, I want to run. I mean, I want to have races every night on the schedule.
Yeah, but if you're, like I say, you're open 20 nights a year on average, you could have, this time of year, one awful night that you're digging out of the rest of the season. You've only got so many nights to make money off of a night where you might have lost your ass.
Yeah, you don't get like a regular like a regular business, say a grocery store or a mom and pop pizza joint or that has 52 weeks. Right. If they have three or four bad weeks, they've got 48, 49 weeks to dig that out. We've only got, in our industry, we've only got 3-4 months.
Right. I use Marshalltown and Boone as an example because they're facilities that around here, generally speaking, and just in general, I think people don't associate as high paying racetracks. You know what I mean? They're not running lots of real big special events like 10,000 or 20,000 to win super late model races and stuff like that consistently.
Yeah.
You know, Boone gets kind of like, you'll see people say, Boone don't pay that good. Well, their mod purse is $3,500 a week. That's about what it is. Which is probably about average, I think, with a lot of our racetracks, maybe a little higher than average.
If you look at it, I mean,
across the board,
we're about
it doesn't average. Take long for that those numbers when you're running multiple divisions. It doesn't take long for those numbers to get pretty big, you know. And 15 grand for a weekly purse is that's a fair amount of money. You throw the operating expenses in there between, you know, so you're up between 20 and 25 grand on an absolutely Grand Slam home run event at Boone Speedway on a weekly show, it ain't going to make $25,000. No. You're risking $25,000, but you're not making $25,000. You know, on a really good night, you don't make what you risk. It's not. It's worse than the casino at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
At least you go play blackjack.
I mean, in the racing world, the house always wins. I mean, because you know here's where the house is, yeah, and you don't get much over the house.
Right. So you know, it's just, to me, it's there's an incredible lot of risk associated with it. So, again, back to the sponsors we started this conversation on. They're so vital. They're so important. And I think racetracks really super appreciate any effort that they get from local businesses, any support. You know, the racers who race, that also pull in some of their you know, the business money to support some nightly shows. I mean, you see,
I always tell my sponsors, how can I help you? You've right. helped me. How can I help you now?
It really does improve racing across the board. It does make a difference, you know. So the Drurys of the world and the guys like Todd Van Eaton and some of the other people that I've know around that Boone Speedway stuff, it's very helpful. You know, it really does matter. They are making a difference. They may not think that, but they definitely are. It matters, you know. So
yeah, we appreciate.
Hopefully, you have a good race this weekend.
I think it should be. It should be really good.
I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna be there. I'm not boycotting Marshalltown or nothing like that. And the weather actually looks good.
Yeah, so that's not your excuse this week.
So I'm not gonna blame it on the weather.
But I think Jim's going, aren't you, Jim? Friday.
I'm gonna go Friday.
That means if I go, I'll go Thursday.
Oh,
I'm still.
Why don't you follow me over there today and help me work on some stuff?
I'm still on the cheerleader schedule. I got cheerleerleading Friday night in Des Moines.
You are in Des Moines this weekend.
My wife is going to Waco, so it's me and Kennedy on, and I'm trying to.
What?
Think
it's whoa, she's going to Waco, and you are.
I'm not. I asked Virginia. She said she missed one cheer comp. I don't remember that. Kennedy's been doing this since she was 2. She's 13 now. So for 11 years, I don't think Virginia's missed that I remember a cheer comp. So I am taking my 13-year-old to a cheer comp this weekend by myself.
When is that?
And I think my wife's a little nervous. Friday night, she has to cheer at downtown. We're staying downtown.
Same place.
She's cheering at the fairgrounds.
At the Jacobson Building.
Jacobson Center or whatever they call it.
Maybe I'll skip Marshalltown Friday and go to a cheer comp.
So I'm going to that Friday night.
I'll go watch
it. I'll drive past Marshalltown, but I probably won't stop because I'll have Kennedy. She's got track. She's in. I got track meet tonight, track meet Thursday.
It is that time of year. Track, golf, cross country. She's incredibly active. Oh, cross country's in the fall.
Cross country's fall, yeah.
So I get it when racers, you know, when you see racers kind of like get a little bit less dedicated to being weekly racers at times. Yeah. You know,
you got kids, it's
when
hard.
They got kids,
you know, and this time of the year too is hard for like in the Midwest because it's always been, you know, a lot of racers are farmers, and if we're getting into
planting season,
you know, getting into that time where it's you gotta work. You know, it's
pay the bills.
You look at farming like racing. You've got just a certain amount of window to make that happen, and. Yeah. Sometimes you have to give and take.
Didn't even race, did he? Well, yeah. I don't know if that
he was there.
He at Boone?
No, nope. Wahoo went to Stewart. He went to Stewart on Thursday, and then let's see, Federal Crop for his area is the 11th, so he had to go to work and get.
Was
some
he at Boone?
No.
Was he at Marshalltown?
I didn't know.
He was not at Marshalltown because he calls me.
I didn't know if he just skipped Marshalltown because.
Oh no, he didn't skip because he skipped them all after that. They had to go
but
to
you know, we you know, you talk about Marshalltown coming up. You got Junction Motor Speedway, you know, Randy Wolf, a new promoter there. They're kicking off with a 2-day show. You got Tipped In and the Dark Side Boys. They're gonna have a 2-day show at the Cedar County Raceway.
No, it's just one day, it's just Saturday.
It's one day.
Is it
Saturday? All Star.
Oh yes,
Saturday night.
Yeah, their stuff's all sanctioned this year.
Yeah.
Yep. Harlan.
Marsha's car won it. Marshalltown on Friday night. Tom Berry behind the wheel.
Harlan's racing. You know, they're racing everything. Mods, late models, race savers, stock cars, hobbies.
So we survived the eclipse.
Yes. Barely.
And racing is picking up.
Yep.
And the weather's going to start getting warmer.
Maybe that's all we needed was an eclipse.
I'm just happy about the weather getting a little warmer.
Speaking of the eclipse.
It was bad last week.
So speaking of the eclipse, I saw something on the book face that... The eclipse, like the total eclipse, was 4 minutes and 28 seconds.
Total eclipse of your heart?
Yeah, total eclipse of your heart was
Turn around, bright eyes.
Yeah, it was 4 minutes and 27 seconds. So you could wait 1 second when it started, play it, and you could listen to the total eclipse of the heart while you watched the total eclipse.
Did they do that on purpose?
I don't know. It's kind of like if you
you know, we had a good album. What album is that?
Bonnie, somebody sings that song, don't she? What's her name? Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler, yes. But if you watch
that song's gonna be
what Pink Floyd album is it? If you start at the beginning of The Wizard of Oz and let it, is it Dark Side of the Moon?
And you play it backwards.
What's no, you don't play it backwards.
What's your point?
Yes. Just that there's weird Red things
rum.
That
Red Rum.
No, that's The Shining. Red Rum.
Red so what's your point? Jesus.
I just something different to talk about for a second. There was about, no
maybe,
point.
Maybe we can edit this whole deal out of the podcast and save our.
I thought
viewers.
We were going somewhere.
Well,
we
you're talking about all the races now. that we're starting to get busier. 58 sanctioned events this weekend, which is about double what we've been used to. So
yep, picking up.
We're getting there,
and the weather's picking up. Your yard is going to start mowing. I was going to wear my grass mowing shirt.
I was so mad because I'm usually the first guy in the neighborhood to mow. Well, I've kind of been waiting for Cole. Oh, Cole, the paper boy. You know, he's not only a paper boy, a tree boy, and a lawn boy. They take care of my yard, and so they came today. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna wait till they put the fertilizer down. Then I'll mow this weekend. Everybody around me is mowed, and I'm just like, ugh.
I had one neighbor mow so far. I'm like, it's gonna be on here by the end of the week. I don't be the last one. I don't want to be the first.
Can't be the first, be the last.
I don't want to be the last. So I'm looking excited. I am looking forward to mowing.
You guys put your focus and attention on.
It is the best.
Strangest thing.
Stripes.
I'd be like Jim Harbaugh.
Stripes have got to be pinpoint.
I'd be like
Jim
Harbaugh.
Keep up with the neighbors.
They asked Jim Harbaugh, if you weren't a coach, what do you want to do for a living? He said landscaping.
Yeah.
That's me kidding.
Yes, that's what he said. Me too.
And I bet he said that without hesitation too. He strikes me as a type who knows that's.
Yeah.
Landscaping.
Yep. Landscaping. Likes to mow. All righty. Well, we'll wrap it up. We've probably been an hour now, I bet. Close to.
Hour and five.
Oh it's 10:56.
Right. Wow. Time flies when you're having
fun.
Until
next time, it'll be 3:06.
As opposed to 3:02, which is really 5.
I had my eclipse glasses on. It.
Are we having a podcast on that 4:20 you guys were talking about?
Are we having one that's on like 4:20?
It's 11
who
days.
Could we have as a guest on that that's day?
Like hang on, Snoop Dogg. Let's get Snoop to come in.
Yeah, let's get Snoop. Also, you've done some research on the 4:20 thing.
Whoop. No, I just remember you saying
that's
it last
a Saturday.
Time.
4:20 is a Saturday? Yeah. Dang it. That's going to be a goofy night at Boone. You might want to come fill in.
Really? Well, I worked for you Saturday night. I suppose I could do
Really? That's
we'll have like a Joe Rogan, Elon Musk podcast.
Ooh. Yeah, how could we? We couldn't do one on 4:20.
We could
record it on like 4:17 and think it's 4:20.
We could tell
as long as you don't get sick, Jerry.
Pre-race 4:20.
Oh no, I'll make sure the dinosaurs don't come out that day.
Oh shoot!
Well, I suppose on that note, until next time, head on out and take in some great IMCA racing action live at the racetrack. If you can't make it, of course, there's a ton of it. On IMCA TV, so make sure and do that. And if you want to go back and see the Frostbusters or anything else, go get that replay pass, $24.99, 30 days. Ain't going to be 30 days till you see us again. Thanks for joining in, and we'll see you at a racetrack.